When I was a teenager, I would often lay on my bed and daydream. Is anyone a daydreamer? I was very much a daydreamer. And I'd daydream about stuff. I'd daydream about being an NBA basketballer. After youth group on Friday nights, I'd often come home, watch the NBL. At that stage, NBL was on TV, and I could watch my favourite stars of the Perth Wildcats, and that was fantastic. Loved basketball. It wouldn't be uncommon for me to play and train 20 hours a week at that stage of my life. Just loved it so much. Every spare minute was devoted to it. And if I wasn't doing that, I'd be lying on bed daydreaming. If only I was, you know, a really elite basketball athlete. And of course, I'd visualise all of the spectacular dunks and those sorts of things. But also, I'd think about how I could use that forum as a way to share my faith in God. You know, when people looking up to you, this is somebody real special. I'd have such a great opportunity to say, well, you know what? There's somebody more special than me, Jesus Christ. And I'd think about things that I could say if only I were in that position in life. That's not the only dream I had. I'd often be involved with friends, and I'd see what was going on in their lives. And I love the Bible. And I'd love to think about things that I could say to my friends in the different situations, the struggles they might be having, the choices that they were making. And I wish I could say things to them that would help them to put God's truth into practice in their lives. But for the most part, those things remained unsaid. And the things that I dreamed of being able to do remained undone, because they were daydreams. They were things I dreamt about and I wished I could do, but something held me back. There was a fear. Fear of looking silly, fear of rejection, fear of getting it wrong. All sorts of fears that held me back from doing what I dreamt about doing. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever had a dream for yourself? I wish I would just speak up. I wish I would just step out. I wish I could do something. You know, God's often put a real desire in our hearts. You know, for me at that stage in life, the desire was to share something of His word with people. You know, that's never gone away. I don't know what it would be for you. Maybe it's to go somewhere and do a particular thing. God often puts dreams, desires within us, but do we step up? Do we take a walk of faith and do those things that He's called us to do? Do we run the race that He has marked out for us, as it describes in Hebrews 12? That's really what this story in John 5 is all about. In our story today, we discover a man, and he's had a dream for 38 years. The dream is to be able to walk. He's got a physical limitation, something that holds him back. I wonder what your dreams are, though. And as we discover the story today and how Jesus impacted this man's life, I want you to realise that that same power that was at work in this story can be at work in your life too. For many of us, the biggest regrets that we have in life aren't so much the things that we've done that we wish we hadn't done. It's more the dreams that we've had, the things that we wanted to do, but we never stepped up and did them. They're the regrets that we tend to have. And that's what this story is going to speak to us about. Let's just pray before we really get stuck into it. Lord, we thank You for our opportunity to continue to worship You as we study Your word. We thank You that You've given it to us. We thank You that You've preserved it for us so that we can have an accurate record of Jesus, who He is, what He's done for us, how we can be saved, how we can live in Him. And we pray that as we study it today, that through Your Spirit You would make it alive in our hearts and minds, shape us as Your people, so that we can be and do all that You call us to. In Christ's name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask Chris to put up my little sermon presentation. We're going to click our way through that. We're talking about today experiencing the healing touch of Jesus in our lives. And as I've said, it is physical. The story today talks about a physical healing, but I hope we are able to keep in mind that the touch that Jesus wants to impart to us, to bring to life areas of our life that are not yet fulfilled, is often not physical. Often they're internal things that He wants to do. But let's have a look at the story as it unfolds. There's a scale model of the old city of Jerusalem from about this time in history. And you can see there the pool of Bethesda just outside the city walls. You can see the temple buildings over on this side and the Roman Antonia fortress on that side. It's quite close to the hub of Jewish life and activity. And you can see there, as verse 3 in our chapter talks about, there are five covered colonnades. Now, you might count seven there, but those ones along the long edges are just split level ones. So you've got four colonnades around the edge, and then one that goes through the middle. They're the five covered colonnades. And those colonnades were packed with people who were lying there hoping to be healed. They were hoping to experience a miraculous touch of God in their lives. And the way that they thought that would take place is when the waters are stirred, the first one who gets into those waters is healed of whatever afflicts them. They are the person who will get to experience the miraculous power of God in their life. Everybody else will miss it. Can you imagine being in a situation like that? The competition that would be there among people. I want to experience God's power and only one of us will get it. So you're keeping a vigil, you're keeping a watch out so that when it happens, you can seize it, you can grab it. Well, this guy had been at that for 38 years. 38 years. And his affliction was that he couldn't move real well. He was crippled. His legs didn't work properly. It was hard for him to get into the pool before somebody else seized the opportunity and got in. Imagine how frustrating that would have been for him. To know that there's a source of healing, but you can't quite grasp it. Have you ever experienced that sort of frustration? Where what you long for seems right there. All I've got to do is open my mouth. All I've got to do is step out, but I just can't seem to get there. I can't seem to produce in myself what's needed to experience the life that I long for, to do the things that I believe God has in store for me to do. Now, there's an interesting aside in this story. Some of you will have more in this story than others, because for many of us, if we look at our Bibles, there's no verse 4. Did you notice that as Troy read that through? And you might think, what's going on? Why did it go from verse 3 to verse 5? Well, it's quite simple, and we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about it, although people like me find it very interesting. But basically, when you look at the New Testament, there are thousands of manuscripts that we draw from. And there are variations between different manuscripts, because these are all handwritten, and as careful as people were, humans make mistakes. You know that with the Chronicle over the last 2 weeks. So most of the time you can spot those mistakes, and because we have so many manuscripts, it's easy to spot, oh, that one, there was just a small error there. There are a couple of cases, only a very few, where it's actually hard to tell what was in the original, and some people disagree. Because a lot of the less old manuscripts, they're all old, but a lot of the less old manuscripts have verse 4, which tells us that there was an angel that came down and stirred up the waters, and that's why they had this healing property. However, many of the oldest manuscripts that we have, within a few hundred years of the originals being written, don't contain that detail. So as Bible scholars look at that, some go, well, we think that somebody added this in as a note to explain why the people thought they would be healed. Others say, no, we think that that was actually left out by mistake of some manuscripts, so we're going to put it in. And so you have different Bibles. Most Bibles actually just have a little note that says, not all of the manuscripts have this in it. In reality, it doesn't change the story, it doesn't change the message, so that's why we're not going to focus a lot on the pros and cons of either approach. But we can say for sure, the people who were around that pool believed that the first one in got healed. Whether it was because an angel stirred up the waters or whether it was because of some other reason, that's what they believed was going on. And this guy could not achieve it for himself. So we have a man whose dream is to be well. He wants to be able to walk. But in a cruel twist of fate, his disability is the very thing that stops him from being healed. He is too slow. He can't get into the pool on time. And so Jesus comes into this situation and he says quite simply, do you want to get well? I mean, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? Do you want to be well? He's been there for 38 years hoping to get into the pool. Of course he wants to be well. But you know what? It's not a silly question. Jesus never asked silly questions. For him, he was dealing with something that at least he was familiar with. He would have been relying on begging for his livelihood. He would have had a spot that he was used to living in. He was used to being unwell. Now, to be confronted with the opportunity to be well, that opens a whole new world of possibilities. What will I do? Where will I live? Is there family somewhere? What's his world going to look like if he is taken away from Bethesda Pool? It could be quite scary. Have you ever known people who have actually held on to their sicknesses? They've held on to their struggles and don't actually want to be healed from them? Have you ever had friends or family in your life where you say, why do you keep making those choices? Why do you keep hold of that attitude which holds you back? Don't you want something better for yourself? Can't you see how you could make things better for yourself? Do you know people like that? I do. Why is it that sometimes people don't really want to be well? They don't want to make the changes or experience the healing touch of God. We live in a society where we have a whole bunch of recognised illnesses that are brought on by our attitude. And I know a lot of people who struggle with sometimes physical illness, sometimes other afflictions, where if only they would change their outlook, it would make a huge difference to their experience. But yet it's not always that easy. It's a choice that needs to be made. Yes, I want to be well. I really do want to be well. It's a tough thing to choose wellness sometimes. Wellness has consequences. So as much as this man dreamed of being able to walk, he needed to recognise that he had to choose it. He had to accept it. He had to be willing for it. His response in verse 7 is interesting. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred." He doesn't actually answer the question, "Yes, I want to be well." He says, "Well, I can't be well." His focus is on the obstacle, the barrier. He doesn't realise that one who is with him is far greater than that barrier, is far greater than that obstacle, is far greater than his illness. He has a belief about how he can be healed, and he has the knowledge that he can't do it himself. And he doesn't realise that God is going to heal him in a way that defied his expectations. Jesus says to him quite simply, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Wouldn't it have been fascinating to have watched this take place? We don't know how it happened. Perhaps his body was transformed in that instant and he just jumped up as you or I would jump up and was able just to take off. Maybe it was only as he struggled to his feet that in the process of getting up, that's when the healing took place. You know what? We don't know and it doesn't matter. All we know is that he was healed in that moment by the power of Jesus' words. He was able to get up, pick up his mat, and walk. We don't know if it was painless. We don't know what sort of process that was like for him, but we know that he was healed by the miraculous power of Jesus. As I said earlier, this message is entitled "Experiencing the Healing Touch of Jesus." And what does this simple story teach us about experiencing that in our own lives? Should we expect this same power that healed this man's body to be at work in our own lives today? Should we expect it to be at work even in our bodies? Now, I've prayed with people. I've prayed for people for healing many, many times, just as that passage in James that John read out to us earlier talks about. I've anointed people with oil in the name of the Lord. I've laid hands on people with elders and with fellow believers. And you know what? God has answered our prayers every single time. And God has brought about healing every single time. But not always physical healing that we were asking for. Sometimes he has. And I tell you, that's an exciting thing. But equally exciting is when God brings about a healing in a different shape, in a non-physical way. Sometimes there is a transformation that needs to happen on the inside, and that is a way that God brings that about. Physical healing is a great blessing from God. But he's not promised to do that for every believer until Jesus comes back, and as Revelation 21 talks about, he makes all things new. It says in Revelation 21 that Jesus will announce that the old order of things has passed away. That includes sin, that includes death, that includes sickness, that includes grief caused by those things. That's going to be taken away and we're going to be restored into a fullness of living. That's going to happen one day. He hasn't promised to make it happen in the meantime. Yet he has promised to heal us in other areas of our lives. He has promised and he has delivered us in other areas of our lives. You see, I've known many cripples, but only a tiny proportion of them have been crippled physically. I've known people who have been crippled in their thinking, people who have been crippled emotionally, people who have been crippled spiritually. And you know what? I've been there. And probably so have you, where you've been held back, you've been stunted, you've been malformed on the inside. You haven't experienced all that God wants for you. In John 10:10, we read these wonderful words of Scripture. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You see, Satan wants you to spend your life as a cripple on the edge of the pool, whatever form that takes for you, thinking that if only you were faster, if only you were cleverer, if only you were stronger, if only you'd been luckier, if only you'd had more help, then my life would be different, that I'd be able to get the life that I dream of. You'd be able to do what you long to do. You wouldn't be held back by those things that are beating you up right now. But Jesus has come to give us life to the full. And whatever that looks like for us, he has come to deliver it. We know from Romans 12:2 that God's will for us is good, perfect and pleasing. God has a good plan for your life. He doesn't want you to be crippled on the inside. He has a plan to heal you fully. And often God gives us a glimpse of what that looks like as his Spirit stirs within us. Remember, for me as a teenager, it was to be able to share with people the words of God as contained in Scripture in a way that connects with their life and can make a difference. At that stage of my life, it was just too hard. But God is very gracious, and he's taken me on a journey, and it's a journey that has a long way to go, I've got to tell you. There are still struggles that I have with fears and insecurities and all that stuff. But he's taking me along and helping me to do that which I dreamed of as a 15-year-old. I wonder what you dreamt of at that stage in life. I wonder what you dream of today. You know what? There is a very real possibility that at least some of those dreams are things that the Holy Spirit was seeding within you to help you be shaped to do what he wants you to do. We know he's got a plan for your life. We know he can reveal that plan. Why not produce in you those dreams, those longings, and then help you to carry them out? That's what the Christian life is entailed. But I wonder what has held you back from that. I don't want you to be crippled by ungodly desires, lusts, or ambitions. I'd hate for you to be crippled by ungodly attitudes like jealousy, or grumbling, or fault-finding, and so on. I'd hate for you to be crippled by addictions of the body, or addictions of the mind, or addictions of the heart. I'd hate for you to be crippled by material things that have a hold on your heart. And I'd hate for you to be crippled by a fear of rejection, or of ridicule, of criticism, or of danger. I wonder, if you could do anything for Jesus, what would it be? If you could do absolutely anything for him, what would it be? And if you believe that Jesus could do anything for you, what would that be? What would you ask for? I want to encourage you this morning, don't play it safe. Don't lay for 38 years on a mat trying to make it on your own and just aware of all the limitations and all the things that hold you back. If only, if only, if only. Jesus has arrived. Now, we could go back to the pool of Bethesda. And I think sometimes this is what churches are like, where week by week we hear the word of God and it's a tantalizing taste. If only we could put that into practice, but yet we're held back and we're stunted and we're not quite getting there. I want to tell you, Jesus has arrived. And his intention is not for us to be cripples on the edge of the pool. His intention is to deliver us into the abundant life that he promised. His intention is to fulfill his good plans for every one of us. But sometimes that means for us to answer the question, do you want to be well? For us to say, yes, I don't want to hold back anymore. Yes, I don't want to play it safe anymore. Yes, I'm prepared to put my faith in you instead of this hope of something else happening and me being lucky enough to get there. Do you want to be well? And then the second part is the obedient step of, well, do what I've told you to do. Pick up your mat and follow me. What is it that Jesus has told you to do? Is it to open your mouth and speak? Is it to sell all you have and give to the poor and follow him? Is it to go and do something in a particular context? I don't know. I know what he's told all of us to do, and that's contained very clearly in his word. Maybe that's a good place to start. How do you overcome bitterness and rejection and unhappiness in your life? Well, do what the Bible tells you to do. You'll discover your life changing. What is it that's holding you back today? Wouldn't it be tragic for our church to look like that? Instead, we want a church where Jesus turns up. He takes us with all our struggles and all our insecurities and all the stuff that's holding us back, and bit by bit, he heals us on the inside. He transforms us from the inside out, again, as Romans 12 talks about. And then he sends us out to do those things that he plans for us to do. Don't go through your life being held back from God's best for you. Don't fill your life with regrets or empty dreams. Experience the healing touch of Jesus that frees you to really live for him. Sometimes that looks like a physical healing. More often, in my experience, it looks like a healing on the inside. I love to see both, and I pray that we will see both as we take Jesus at his word and experience his healing power. We're going to bow in prayer in a few moments, and I'd invite you just to close your eyes and bow your heads as we do that. And I want you just to reflect for a moment on the things that you have in your life right now that are holding you back from really experiencing Jesus, from really doing the things that you were created to do. What is it that you dream of? What is it that you long to be able to do, if only? I want you to recognize that there are no if onlys in the kingdom of God, because we have the resource that is infinite, God himself, our heavenly Father, his Spirit placed within us, his Son given for us. Experience his power today. Let me pray for us. God, I want to thank you for this story of the healing at the pool, where a man whose situation seemed hopeless discovered that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and there is no limitation that is beyond him. There is no obstacle that is too high, too tough for him to overcome. Lord, whatever it is that holds us back, whether it's our own internal fears, whether there's some tough circumstances that we're facing, whether it's relationship issues that we're dealing with, whatever it is, Lord, that is holding us back from experiencing your good and perfect plan for us today, give us the faith to trust you for healing. Give us the obedience to step out and do what you've told us to do. May we not play it safe. May we not resign ourselves to anything less than your best for us. Guide us, we pray, in Christ's name, for his glory. Amen.